The first reading we heard is from the Old Testament book of Wisdom. Beautiful reading for today. We heard how the souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. These souls seemed in the view of the foolish to be dead. Their passing away was thought an affliction. Their going forth from us, utter destruction. But for those who believe, they are in peace. A beautiful reading for All Souls Day. That's the old term for today, All Souls Day. The modern term is the commemoration of all the faithful departed. But I like All Souls Day, because yesterday was All Saints Day. That's how we begin the month of November, by commemorating the saints. Today we pray for the souls, because November is a month in which we remember our dead. The church has done this since the 8th century. November, we remember our dead. This feast day has a history that is very interesting. It begins with the Benedictines, actually. Remember, it was Saint Benedict who taught his monks to keep death daily before their eyes. I spoke about this yesterday at our Remembrance Mass in the afternoon. And it was a Benedictine abbot of Cluny. You can study that monastery. It was Saint Odilo, O-D-I-L-O. Saint Odilo is the one who had all of the monks associated with the Cluny abbeys to pray for the dead on this day. This began in the year 988. It was a Benedictine tradition. And then 400 years later, it became a Roman tradition throughout the whole church. Nothing happens fast in the Catholic Church. And so we are here today because of that Benedictine tradition in Cluny. There was a story about a monk who saw bonfires on an island. He was stranded there. And the hermit said to this monk belonging to Cluny, "These bonfires represent sparks that can't get to heaven unless you monks at Cluny pray for them." So he went back and delivered this, and that's how it all worked out. Yesterday, as I said, was All Saints Day. The saints, remember, are those who have died with their sins forgiven and their sins atoned for. It was like when I wrecked our car in high school. I came home, showed Dad the car. I said, "I wrecked the car." Dad said, "Okay, I forgive you." All right, I was forgiven. But we still looked at a wrecked car. The car had to be fixed. So after our sins are forgiven, they need to be fixed. The damage of our sins need to be fixed. And so in heaven, the saints have their sins forgiven and atoned. But for those who pray with their sins forgiven and not atoned, it's God's mercy that brings them to purgatory, where their sins are purified or atoned. So the saints in heaven we call the church triumphant. Certainly they're triumphant. The greatest saints we have are Mary and Joseph. Look how triumphant they are in this church. The souls that are in purgatory we call the church suffering. There is suffering in being purified. There's going to be a little suffering I would have to do if I would bend that metal back on Mom's Chrysler New Yorker. I wouldn't do it, but I would have to pay for it, or there's suffering somewhere along that line. And then we who are here are the church militant, right? We're the ones still kind of fighting. As St. Paul said, we're running the race. As St. Paul said, we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. All three of those comprise one church. Triumphant, suffering, militant. Yesterday I said that the communion of saints is a particularly Catholic belief and statement. Today I will say that to pray for the dead is a particularly Catholic belief, statement, and practice. So we pray for the dead all of our lives. We assume they are in purgatory, but we hope that they are in heaven. All right. Since this is a school mass on a Monday morning, I'm not going to waste your time. I'm going to answer for you questions that all students in Catholic schools should know about All Saints Day. First of all, Father, Monsignor, is it in the Bible that we should pray for our dead? Yes. The Catholic Church formulated the Bible. We are the Bible-based church. All that we do is from the Bible, from the sacraments to all of our practices. In the book of Maccabees, in the Old Testament, it says this: "It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from sins." In this sense, Catholic Church is borrowing that tradition to pray for the dead. It's in the Old Testament. Years and years before Jesus was born. Now, Maccabees is a deuterocanonical book, which means the non-Catholics will not believe in that book. And so then we'll turn them to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, where we read how the souls of the believers are being purified by fire. That sense again of purification, atonement, to be made ready. Is it in the Bible? Good. They're not all going to be yes, though. Don't get tricked. Second of all, do our prayers for the dead help them? Yeah, or else we wouldn't pray for them. Our prayers for the dead help the dead. How do we pray for the dead? Well, we do it here at Mass. After a meal prayer, we conclude our meal prayers when the priests eat in the rectory. You know the prayer. We give you thanks, Almighty God, for these and all thy benefits which we have received from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. And then we always conclude that prayer by saying, and may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Caesar and I walked this morning at 6 a.m. We walked through three different cemeteries. We walk through three cemeteries every day we walk, visiting a cemetery is a way to pray for our dead. In fact, the church says that even if we think of them, if it's only mental, it is a prayer that helps the deceased. Do our prayers help the dead? Good. Second of all, do our prayers love the dead? It's an act of charity. Charity right here. What else are we going to do for those whom we have lost? If you've lost grandparents, you've lost friends, maybe you've lost your parents, how do we love them now that they're gone? Do we just forget them? We pray for them. That is a way that we can continue to love them. Here's a question. When we pray for our dead, does it help us? Yes. How? Well, every prayer helps us. Catechism defines prayer as the raising of one's heart and mind to God. And so when we pray, that helps us. But here's how it helps us in another way. When we pray for the dead, we are reminded of the joys of heaven to come. And that brings us comfort as we live our faith here, as pilgrims in the church militant. Here's one. Are the souls in purgatory gonna get to heaven? Yep. If you've made it to purgatory, you've made it. They are on their way. The souls in purgatory, they're being purified, and there's some suffering there. But they know they have been saved. And so they are on their way. And they know they must also be made perfect, because heaven is perfect. Listen, we are either going to die perfect, or by God's mercy, we will be made perfect. And that is what we call purgatory. It is God's mercy. Here's one. Do the souls in purgatory know that we are praying for them today? No and yes. No and yes. St. Thomas Aquinas, a really popular saint, said that the souls in purgatory are not able to know by themselves that we are praying for them, because they're not in heaven. They're not in the beatific vision. But St. Alphonsus Liguori said, yes, although they cannot know by themselves, God will make our prayers known to them. It's a nice thought. It is a good and pious notion. So the answer to that is no, they cannot know by themselves. But why wouldn't God tell your loved ones today that on this great feast day of all souls, you're praying for them? Here's one. Are the souls in purgatory closer to God than we are? Yeah. Yeah, I hope to be saved. I hope to make it to heaven, but I don't really know it yet. The souls in purgatory know that they are saved. They know that they are going to heaven. And they are closer to God than we are. That is why St. Robert Bellarmine said, because they are closer to God than we are, they can even pray for us. And so he said, when we pray for our dead, we should ask them to pray for us. There's a German proverb that says, I quoted this yesterday, those who live in the Lord never say goodbye for the last time. We believe that we will see our loved ones again through God's mercy. Our gospel said, whoever sees Jesus and believes in him will be brought to eternal life. And we are all blessed, my dear people, to have our Catholic faith and to have the communion of saints that we have and to be able to pray for our loved ones as the church directs us. All priests today are allowed to have 3 masses. That's how important today is. The first mass is for a particular intention. The second mass is for a general intention of all the dead. And the third mass is for the prayers of the Pope. And so I will offer 2 more masses in our private chapel in the rectory. Maybe I can give you a tour of that chapel someday. That's how important today is. And Father Grafsgaard will offer another mass here at noon as we gather to pray for our deceased. And so I'm going to conclude this homily. Don't you wish I could preach this long every Monday morning? We're going to conclude this homily by doing this. We are all going to think right now of someone in our family or a friend or someone whom we know who has died. It may be a brother or a sister. It may be a grandma or a grandpa. It may be our mother or father. It may be a friend, a cousin, or an uncle. And it may be a pet we had that loved us and that we miss. That's a gift to us as well. Let us pray and think right now of what we've lost and what we now commend to God. And let us pray that famous prayer of the church. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and may your perpetual light shine upon them. May the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.